High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're trying to follow the story, trying to understand it. And the reality is that I'm not sure that anybody can predict what is going on. We can report on it. We can bring you accurate information. But to try and understand it is not that simple. Somebody who is really very much at the forefront of reporting of the information system is Bernard Mudler. And I've told you about him before, and the Bernie News Network, something that we here at Chai rely on quite extensively. And I can tell you that aside from the official publications, there isn't one other organization like this that we rely on and trust with verified information other than BNN. So that is a really, really a big thing. But really what we're trying to do now is just understand where Israel stands in this whole, with this whole situation. We've seen news that Israel shared intelligence with the Trump administration about an assassination plot with regard to Donald Trump. We're trying to figure out if Israel is to be drawn into this. Bernard Mudler, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. I hope you are well.
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here. And yeah, I'm doing quite well. Things are quiet for now, but let's see how they shape up.
So let's just start with the fact that we now see very publicly that Israel shared information with the U.S., as we would expect them to, with regard to a plot, an assassination plot with regard to Trump. Why do you think it is, and a few of our listeners are asking this question, why do you think it is that the U.S. administration chose to release this information?
I think it's very important for any country to create a very public reason as to why they're doing these operations. I don't think that this is necessarily the main one.
Sure.
Before this information came out, the president very publicly in Ankara said that he believed that the MOU is over, but more importantly, he called negotiations a waste of time. And he said very publicly, they're liars. They make it, we make a deal. They go outside. They talk to the press. And they say we never talked about it. They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And that isn't, if you read that, it isn't necessarily him saying they're trying to kill me. So our takeaway from that is that there's something more going on behind the scenes, something that they potentially said to him, actions that they've taken that hasn't come out publicly, something that really affected him so negatively that now he's pushing back against the Kushners and the Witkops within the administration who are pushing for this deal.
We also saw that he flew back not on his new Qatari plane, but on his older reliable plane, which also talks to the seriousness with which he is taking this information.
Yeah, you have to keep in mind that the new aircraft, which is being called the Bridge, exists entirely to sort of hold over the president until the newest aircraft being currently produced by Boeing are completed. And it doesn't really have the same capabilities as the older ones.
Right.
The hardening against EMPs, the protection systems. And when you're flying out of a war zone, especially one that involves an enemy that you had just struck the day before, it's better to have the best protection possible when you're leaving.
Right. So it's not necessarily about the plot, but really about the fact that there's this escalation in the conflict. When this started a few days ago, a lot of the people that we spoke to thought that, including somebody like Shabbos Kestenbaum, that it was going to be fairly contained. It might still be, It might still be an operation that lasts 3-4 days, and then goes back to the MOU type of situation. But the longer it goes on, obviously, the less likely that would be. What is your perception on how contained this will be? And then I want to lead that towards a discussion about Israel's potential involvement.
I think at the moment we're at a very interesting crossroads. The current situation is that the United States is acting harder and harder every day against the Iranians. And the biggest problem right now is Iran is fractured. Mm. There's the IRGC, which does not want a deal. They're very hardline. They're pushing every day for harsher and harsher conflict against the U.S. And then you have people like Foreign Minister Agrachi, who's much more interested in negotiating and seeing the potential for what Iran could be in the future. But as a result, with the IRGC holding so much power, I don't really see at the moment, unless there's a huge change on that part, us moving back to any sort of peace deal. Now, it's entirely possible that the U.S. is going to launch this long-term operation, which might take a few weeks, where they knock out more of the IRGC capabilities and destroy more of the leadership. It's not clear at the moment, but I do believe that we're heading towards overall a conflict that will last probably at least a few weeks. And it's not totally clear if Israel will be involved quite yet.
What is clear is that at this stage anyway, Iran doesn't want Israel involved. Otherwise, I would have imagined there would have already been a ballistic missile or some form of a direct attack on Israel, as there was on Jordan yesterday, or on the Jordan U.S. bases in Jordan. But it does seem, for whatever reason, that Iran is still perhaps holding back a little bit with regard to Israel. Your thoughts?
Well, Iran sees this, their actions overall, as a way to push the U.S. to give them more leeway in the deal. Overall, their goal is to control the Strait of Hormuz, amongst other things. And in their mind, they can, you know, strike the U.S. a couple times and then have Trump running back to the table. If they involve Israel, though, they do understand that two things will happen. One, Israel will continue hard to strike Iran. They won't stop if the U.S. tells them to, because any strikes on Israel are a huge escalation for the country. And two, they also understand that it is much harder to deal with both the U.S. and Israel at the same time. In their mind, it's much easier to deal with just the U.S., and continue their operations that way. And that could really just come down to the fact that the U.S., if there are these, like when there are these types of strikes, doesn't strike necessarily super hard and go all out. They do what we like to call love taps. They hit same locations on the coast, maybe a few new ones. It's not like Israel, where, you know, they send over one ballistic missile and Israel comes out and wipes out their entire leadership. So they understand that calculus, and mm-hmm. So they're taking this very carefully.
So the thought of the appetite for Israel to get involved, both from a military perspective, a political one, and the normal civilian population, what's your thought on it?
I can say that from the political and military side of things, Israel is ready and willing, and we can say somewhat looking to get involved, because they know there are a lot more targets on the board. As the chief of staff for the army said the other day, they've updated their board, they have a lot of targets in mind, so they're ready and willing to go in. But as it stands now, what they're saying, at least publicly, is there are two things they're waiting for: either one, Iran strikes here, or two, the U.S. requests the assistance. But Israel is definitely looking for a way in, and it's going to be seen if they maybe take a third option, which is just to enter and to do these preemptive strikes if they detect some sort of threat that can that needs to be dealt with beforehand.
And that is unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Thank you, as always, Bernard Mütler, wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and thank you for all of the great work that you are doing.